with the refuges and precepts, the Stephanie Kaza refuges and precepts. Deeply our lives intertwine, we vow not to kill. Knowing how deeply our lives intertwine, we vow to not take what is not given. Knowing how deeply our lives intertwine, we vow to not engage in abusive relationships. Knowing how deeply our lives intertwine, we vow to not speak falsely or deceptively. Knowing how deeply our lives intertwine, we vow to not harm self or others through poisonous thought or substance. Knowing how deeply our lives intertwine, we vow to not dwell on past errors. Knowing how deeply our lives intertwine, we vow to not speak of self separate from others. Knowing how deeply our lives intertwine, we vow to not possess any thing or form of life selfishly. Knowing how deeply our lives intertwine, we vow to not harbor ill will toward any plant, animal, or human being. Knowing how deeply our lives intertwine, we vow to not abuse the great truth of the three treasures. And we'll go on with our practice of metta and directing this energy of unconditional kindness, unconditional friendship, love towards a dear friend. Before we begin the exploration of this, I'd like to speak a little bit about the benefits of metta. As some of you may know, there are a lot of lists that have come through to us from a few thousand years ago. The Buddhist teachings have come, not all of them, but numbers of them have come in the form of lists. Now, of course, we don't know if the Buddha was a list maker, but it's handy, actually, to have some of these lists. And the benefits of metta have come down to us and translated in such a way as it's in the form of a list. There are 11 benefits of metta that are listed, and I'd like to share those with you. Now, first, preface this by saying that there's no guarantee that all of these benefits are going to show up today or tomorrow or even next week. Someday, little by little, they'll be with you. The first is that you'll sleep easily. The second benefit is that you'll wake up easily. See, that one has a ways to go yet, yeah? For some of you, anyways. You'll have pleasant dreams. People and animals will love you. In the Buddhist teaching, it's talked about devas, which are unseen beings or unseen energies. And they will love you. They'll protect you. The external dangers, and in the classical teachings, external dangers are listed as poisons, weapons, fire won't harm you. Now, we talked a little bit about what that might mean yesterday. And I have a very brief story about where I live in Taos, New Mexico. A few years ago, there was a huge forest fire up in the mountains. Many, many, many acres burned, and the Lama Foundation, which some of you may know of, was in the path of the forest fire, and then there's a community of homes, the Lama community. And there was a woman who sat a Metta retreat with me who lives up in that Lama community. And she said that the fire went right around her house. It didn't touch her house. She said it, she was sure that it was because she practiced so much Metta. So, really, who knows, you know? You can let it be an open question. Don't make any hard and fast decisions about it. Even if you have strong opinions. Just notice that you have strong opinions. Will be clear and radiant. Your mind will be calm and serene. You will die unconfused. And that's a big one for a lot of people. Many people die in quite a lot of confusion. And if you just imagine that you die, when you're dying, metta is what's the predominant energy, a predominant force, you won't be confused. And the last benefit is you will be reborn in happy realms. And I want to talk about this just briefly, because this idea of rebirth in the classical Asian Eastern way of thinking usually doesn't fit very well with a lot of people who weren't brought up in that. And I think there's a way to think about it that I think makes a lot of sense for most of us that weren't brought up in a Buddhist culture or an East Asian culture that has a strong inclination towards believing in rebirth. And we've already talked about it, actually, but not directly. Each moment is a new moment. So each moment, there's a death and a rebirth, moment by moment by moment by moment. The moment itself, our experience, ends and a new birth, ends and a new birth continuously. We mostly don't notice that. But at some point in practice, we may begin to actually notice that. So looking at it from that perspective, metta is a happy realm. It's a happy place. It's a beautiful place. If we're reborn again and again, moment by moment, day by day, week by week, in the realm of unconditional kindness, unconditional love, we're reborn again and again and again in a happy realm. So that's one way to look at this process of rebirth, of being reborn in happy realms. There's one more understanding that may or may not agree with you, and you don't have to agree with it, but I'll just share it anyways and put it out there. In the Buddhist understanding, at the moment of death, whatever the state of mind is, be it fear, rage, anger, confusion, loving kindness, or no self or emptiness. Everything except emptiness is considered to be that moment, whatever's in the mind, whatever's in the heart, that's the energy that's reborn. So if we die in the midst of a mind, a heart filled with metta, that's what we leave, so to say, in this world. That's our legacy. That's what we've given. And that's what's reborn. So that's another way to consider it. So those are the 11 benefits of metta. So as I've already mentioned, today, this morning, we'll begin with a dear friend, a beloved friend. a few moments about friendship. Friendship with someone, ourselves in relationship to another person. True friendship isn't based in a sentimentality or in a romanticized attitude or romanticized ideas or images about ourselves or the other person. Actually, sentimentality is an aspect of delusion. It's really an illusion. And it colors or flavors what is really true moment by moment. It colors and flavors it with a kind of sugar coating or puts a curtain like, no, not in this room, but some of the rooms have these kind of, you can kind of see through them, but not really. That kind of curtain in front of the reality of things. It kind of puts sugar on top of it all. That's the delusion or the illusion of sentimentality. As though there's no sorrow, as though there's no pain, as though there's no anguish anywhere. And that illusion or that delusion is actually weakening rather than strengthening. It takes a tremendous amount of defensive energy to keep that illusion going, to keep that delusion going, to kind of overlook the reality of things. It takes a lot of energy to keep that up, that false attitude. All of our lives are a mix of lots of different things, as we know some of the time, or when we're willing to really look. They're a mix of pleasure and pain, a mix of gain and loss, praise, blame, fame, maybe some degree of fame or good reputation or bad reputation. Over and over and over again, changing, constantly changing back and forth. It's like a cycle that just keeps going around for each of us. The power, the force of metta, of loving kindness, actually cuts through all of that and allows us to be with, to really embrace the changes, all of the changes. The ideas of self and other cuts through that. And we have the opportunity to be, really be with all the varied experiences of our life and to be with them with gratitude, with appreciation, with clarity. When things are wonderful, when things are easy, we can be grateful and appreciate. And when things are difficult, when they're not going so well, there's a strong and strength and full capacity of patience. So metta is really a protection in this way. I think I mentioned the fact that it was a protection, and that's some aspects of why it's a protection. Begin with a dear friend and take just a few moments now to connect with someone, bring someone to heart, bring someone to mind who you consider to be a very dear friend, a beloved friend. And just letting this being sit beside you, so to say, And spending just a few moments now reflecting on the meaning of friendship to you. Letting this reflection go. The energy of metta, of unconditional loving kindness towards yourself through the phrases. And now calling to mind, calling to heart, someone who you consider to be a very dear friend. And you can silently say their name if that's helpful. And if it's easy to bring up a visual image of this person, you can do that. And maintaining this visual image. And if that's not easy, then bringing in a feeling of their presence, as though they're here with you. Your friend should be someone who is still alive. And at this point, someone who's not an object of sexual desire for you. That can complicate the issue. And so right now, we're just keeping it simple. And when you have your friend with you, a visual image, a felt sense, spending just a couple of moments contemplating or reflecting some likable qualities or likable attributes of this person, of your friend. And also recognizing and taking delight in your friend's urge or wish to be happy in their life, just as you wish this for yourself. Now directing the force, the energy of metta, loving kindness, towards your friend, and repeating the phrases that you have chosen for yourself and for your benefactor. Your friend, encompassing your friend. Giving your friend this care of kindness from your heart. Phrase. The attention wanders off, goes off to stories or plans, memories. Recognizing this, and just very simply coming back and beginning again with the repetition of the phrases, beginning with one phrase. I mentioned using the same phrases you've used for yourself and for the benefactor, unless they change slightly in a very natural way, without any manipulation, without thinking about them and trying to find, come up, manipulate. If they naturally change somewhat, that's fine. But don't keep changing. That doesn't help concentration.